Hollywood produced a movie called The Three Musketeers, Infamous Three Musketeers. How many of you guys saw the one time or another, one version or another? And three brave soldiers of French king dynasty. I forgot, one of those Louis something. Anyway, they are famous for the slogan of one for all and all for one. And they are famous for the three things. Number one, courage. Number two, strength. And the, of course, candy bar. Yes, thank you. Three musketeers. Let's not forget that. The important thing, candy bar. And yeah, I'm surprised that it didn't come from Carl. It came from Annette to make a. Oh, yeah.
You blame me, she blames me.
Anyway, can we go back to study? Please? First, courage. Second, strength. Third, dedication. You might want to jot it down. Three things: courage, strength, and dedication. Tonight, we are going to study verse 11 of the book of Jude. And we find the three musketeers of downfall. Not good guys, they are the bad guys. If we watch to some of the old spaghetti western music, would spaghetti western movie, the good, the bad, and the ugly. These guys are bad and ugly all together in one. When they're supposed to be courageous, they became a coward in God. And coward against God. When they're supposed to be strengthened in the Lord, to find the strength in the Lord, they were weak and against temptation. When they're supposed to be dedicated to God and God's kingdom, they deserted God's kingdom and they walked away from God. Who are they? Who are these people that when everything against the principle of the three musketeers? And there's, you know, original three musketeers are famous for protecting their king, the Louis, the whatever. But this guy is supposed to stand up for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They backed away. Verse 11 of Jude. Woe to them. Now, when we read this kind of thing, woe to them. Them who? So we have to go back and read a few verses. Let's go back to the verse 5. But I want to remind you, though, that you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Who are they? Israelites, who came out of Egypt and wandered around for 40 years in the wilderness, and they didn't enter into the promised land. The second generation did. But the angels who did not keep their proper domain and left their own adobe, He has reserved in everlasting chains under the darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the city around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after the strange flesh, and are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of the eternal fire. Likewise, those who, even the dreamers, defile the flesh, reject the authority, and speak evil of the dignitary. Remember, we talked about the celestial, another different version says celestial being, which is a proper translation in this case. Yet Michael, the archangel, is contending with the evil devil. When he disputed with the body of Moses, underline the body, dispute about the body of Moses. Remember we talked about which book he's referring to. I talked about apocryphal books such as Assumption of Moses. Somebody calling you, 7962-9516, is that you? Call. Anyway, apocryphal book and Assumption of Moses, And the verse, the following verse, it talks about another one. And this beautiful body of Moses, and they are not bringing against him the reviling or accusation, but said, the Lord with you. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, whatever they know naturally, like a brood of beast. In these things they corrupt themselves. And we will find in verse 14, also we find about Enoch. And I told you about that portion is excerpted from the book of Enoch, another apocryphal book. In other words, it's a book that Israeli people use as a devotional book, but they are not included in the canon of New Testament, Old Testament and New Testament, and for us to use. Why? Because they cannot find, of course, God led them, most of all, and they are not matching. They are not quite sure about it. However, when Jude is quoting them, obviously they are right to it. Now, because we went over the two studies, we studied about pride, we studied about unbelief, we studied about immorality. And they are the ones who are the people. And when we look at the verse 11, it's starting with, woe to them. Those are the type of people who need to be woe to them. When God says woe to them, is everything okay? Okay. Oh, yeah, whatever.
Maybe God's calling
him. Hello, God, is that you?
From my office, right? Well, he is everywhere. So.
I think we're going to have a nice study.
It's the heat.
Whenever the Bible says woe to them, it's not an easy thing. When God says a woe to them, they pretty much hang it up. Let's go to chapter 23, Matthew. Matthew 23, verse 13. Matthew is, it would be 16:19 in my Bible. That helps you a lot, right? Verse 13 of chapter 23. But woe to you, scribes, Pharisees. Jesus really making the friends by saying this kind of thing. Hypocrite, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against man, for you neither go in yourself, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrite. For you devour the widow's house, and for the pretense make a long prayer, therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Verse 15. Woe to you, scribe and Pharisee and hypocrite, for you travel on land and sea to win one proselyte. Why don't they say convert, like NIV? And when he is won, you make him twice as much the son of hell as yourself. We're going to talk about this. Think about it, what Jesus is referring. Pharisees and scribes, and he called them hypocrites. In other words, did they know the word of God? Did they know the word of God? Yes, they knew the word of God. Every dot, every tittle, they knew. Did they have a respect for the Word of God? Yeah. But did they have respect for the God Himself? No. They didn't follow the Word of God according to it. They rather follow the tradition of their own thing over Word of God. Do we have a modern-day hypocrite, modern-day Pharisees and scribes? Yes. Many. We are going to study that kinds of people. Musketeer number one, we find him as a Cain. Verse 11 of Jude again. Let's go back there. By the way, you might as well stick something in there because we're going to go back and forth several times. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. That's number one. Number two, have greedily in the era of Balaam for profit. Underline Balaam for profit. Number three, perished in the rebellion of Korah. Rebellion of Korah, that's number three. False teacher allows the way of Cain. What do I mean, way of Cain? Endorsing the religion for offer of God with the fruit of man's hand. This is a great symbolism from we find it from the Genesis. Instead of faith in God. Let's go stick your finger there and let's go to Hebrews 9:22. Hebrews right before James. Right after Titus. Hebrews 9:22. There would be 2091. That's very nice of you, Jim. We might keep you for a while. Verse 22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. This is the verse often quoted by the great theologian Jack Laverty whenever we have a communion, right? Let's go back there. All things are purified with the blood, if I may dare to put the parenthesis of Jesus Christ, blood of Jesus Christ, not any blood. Without shedding the blood, there is no remission by the blood of Jesus. Okay, let's go down to the chapter 11 of Hebrew. With the concept of without the blood, there's no remission. There's no forgiveness from God. So let's go to verse 4. By faith, of course, we are talking about hall of faith. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. I really like the way he described this thing. Even though he is dead, he still speaks through his gift to God. All right. What the heck are we talking about? Genesis chapter 4, there's two sons Adam and Eve brought forth. Who are they? Oldest one is Cain, and the second one is Abel. Cain, his occupation is, we learned that he's a farmer, and Abel being his occupation of shepherd. I won't be surprised one bit that if mom and dad, Adam and Eve, taught them how to bring the sacrifice to God, because they witnessed how to bring the sacrifice to God, how they started. In the Garden of Eden, when they were supposed not to eat the forbidden fruit, Bible never said an apple, by the way, okay, guys. So if you are PC lovers and talking bad about the apple, no, this is nothing to do with that. We'll not go there. It was a hand grenade. It exploded into, literally exploded into their face. They took that, not apple, forbidden fruit. See how you get used to with that thing? Hand grenade. Thank you. That forbidden fruit, and they took it and added, it was a disobedience and a pride they into the heart that I am equal to him by disobeying to God. By doing so, they literally walked away from the God's territory. When God found them, they realized they are naked, so they sewed themselves a fig leaf and covered themselves. But their nakedness is still there. So what God did, killed an animal, blood drowned and little spilled onto the ground. And, of course, because of that, earth is cursed. And for the first time they saw the blood spilling, for the first time they saw the life is taken because of what? Their sin. That's first atoning sacrifice. However, when he did that, he covered them with the animal skin. He literally covered their nakedness of their sin with the animal sacrifice. They learned. So what I'm sure did, they taught their children, Cain and Abel, what to do, what to bring the sacrifice to God. When it's time for their sacrifice, what the Cain did, in, according to Genesis chapter 4, he brought the harvest of his field. You know, when I read this portion when I was a young Christian, and I thought, what's wrong with the vegetable? God doesn't like French fries? I mean, what's the matter with him? Maybe he didn't like a cantaloupe. What's that green thing that a lot of people eat?
Broccoli.
No. Whatever. Any green things. Anyway, banana is yellow, not green.
It's not his bananas.
Can you imagine people who listen to this over the net? What are they talking about? What are they laughing? If they... Yeah. Anyway, he supposed to follow proper way, proper worship, proper sacrifice. He went against it. Again, this is first sin, disobedience. See where where I'm going? But Abel did what he was supposed to do. By faith, by obedience in his heart, he brought it. By faith. It's not the work that God was rejecting from Cain's hand. It is his heart that God was rejecting, the faith. In John chapter 5, and we find that Jesus speaking to us, we must worship our God with spirit and truth. Spirit, believing God and believing that he is the Son of God. And he's the one who died for us. So these people, the Cain, brought our sacrifice by his own way, not according to God's way. Remember what I said at the beginning? We are not supposed to bring our own fruit to him. We cannot approach to him with our own work. Salvation is not done by human effort. That's why God is saying no to human effort, because we cannot approach to him. It must be done his way, no other way. Self-style worship is an extremely dangerous thing. A lot of religions bring that to us. Just do this, do that. When other religions says, do this, do that, visit these people, do this over the weekend, go to these people's home, or help these people. Meanwhile, God says, it's done. It is finished. All you have to do, by faith, take it. See the difference? When other gods demands us to do something for them, God says, I did this for you. Just come. Believe me. Trust me. Cain is not lacking work, as a lot of religion does, but he is lacking in faith. All right. What is the greatest enemy of the Christianity? Come on, talk back to me. This is a Christian, huh?
Lack of prayer.
Lack of prayer? What is the huh?
Legalism.
Legalism? All right, let's write it down. Hi, Junho here. Good, that's good. All right. We saw him. All right, legalism. Lack of prayer. How about Satan? Is it greatest enemy? Huh?
Yeah. Lack of faith.
Lack of faith?
Well,
Self? All right.
Lack of commitment?
Lack of commitment? All right. In my opinion, greatest enemy of Christianity is none of this. Actually, this is very close. In my opinion, is dead orthodoxy. Dead religion. Dead Christianity. What does it mean? What do I mean? Believe and know that, and not believe, know that Jesus died for our sin, know that Jesus is virgin birth, know that all of this, yet not doing it. Remember what I asked you? Do we still have a modern day Pharisees? Do we still have a modern day scribes? They are the dead orthodoxy. This thing is more deadly, it sends more people to hell than any other things put together. Because, I made this example before. It's one of those good examples, so I think it's worth repeating. And you know, because when you were a little kid, had one of those vaccine shot on your shoulder, top of your shoulder, what was the concept of vaccine? What's the inside of the vaccine shot? That particular disease that we're not supposed to get, right? If it's a smallpox, we get a small dose of smallpox. That means we start to build our immune system with resistance within our body. So when the real disease comes into our heart, our body, we fight off. This time, let's put the Christianity, they put a little bit dose of a Christianity in our body. That's what that religion does. Just touch up Christianity. And we start to have that, okay, I have Christianity, that's cool. I believe in God. So does devil. Does devil go to heaven? No, absolutely not. So we, just because we think we have a little bit of Christianity in our heart, that doesn't mean we are Christian. This dead orthodoxy kill more people to hell than any other things. May we never get into dead orthodoxy. Can Calvary Chapel fall into dead orthodoxy? You can bet on it. Do you think the Methodist Church people were bad from the beginning? No, they were good people. They were bonfire people. The word method, they're methodists going through the Word of God. They're fired up for people. Word of God, yet they turn into dead orthodoxy people.
Isn't it dead orthodoxy that got the Israelites out of Egypt, but not enough to get them into the Promised Land?
Very good.
Jeff, you get a gold star.
Give them gold star. Very good. Second musketeers is Balaam. In my opinion, this is one of the most interesting character in the whole Bible. Why? Why do I say he's the most interesting character? Because he is the only human being ever talk with a donkey. And recorded it in the Bible. Actually, I like the way King James describes about donkey, because that's about far as his intelligence goes. However, let's not think that he was dumb. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter. Yes, please. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. That will be 21:33. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. They have forsaken the right of way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wage of unrighteousness. Underline the wage of unrighteousness. In other words, he got paid by the wicked Do we do that? You don't think that we wouldn't do that. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. Dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of prophet. To make a quick story, Balaam is the. In my opinion, he was kind of a man of God, because he prophesied and he blessed somebody. God blessed him. When he rebuked somebody, God rebuked him. He was known as man, so he was a prophet. So he was well known. Son of Beard, and he was visited by a bunch of people, dignitary by Balak, the Moabite king. He sent a group of people there with a lot of money. The reason why Balak sent the dignitary to them, Balaam, is because Israelite is advancing to his territory. And Moabite realized this Israelite is coming with their God, and everybody who were against them got demolished, got destroyed. So he thought maybe he can use their God, their prophet, to curse them. And have you ever seen one of those cartoons? Their big eyes and all they see is a dollar sign. That's what happened to Balaam. Balaam. When he saw all this money, all he sees is a dollar sign. Ooh, how much I can buy this thing? I can buy Corvette, I can buy a train, I can buy a boat, all of that stuff.
Bigger donkey.
With a special gold license plate on the back of the donkey. So he was thinking about all of this and realized, maybe I can talk God into this thing. So he went to God. God, can I curse your people? I mean, how much intelligence does it take can I curse your people? God says, no. However, you can find all of this, the incident in Numbers chapter 22 to 25 and chapter 31. You might want to jot it down and compare what I said with the Word of God to see what I'm lying on. Huh? Numbers 22 to 25 and chapter 31.
But he was pretty firm and resisted first.
Yeah, he knew that he's not going to work, but when he looked at the money, it was really tempting, so he said, okay, let me talk to God. And the guy says, no. And this is what God said to him. You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. So he came back to the dignitary first group and said, no, I cannot go. And of course, the Balak thought, he wants more money, that's it. Send more guys, send more money. This time, send the princes. So the second group came up with a lot of money. And of course, he wants to take more money. So he asked again. And this time, God says, go. Of course, Balaam was excited, so he packed him out and took off. That's where the conversation with the donkey started. I don't want to bore you guys with what happened on the street, but Balaam, he knew that he is not supposed to do it. How often do we sin against God when we knew we are not supposed to do that? For what? A little bit of pleasure, a little bit of convenience. So we sin against God. Are we taking the wage of unrighteousness? Yes. It doesn't have to be actual money. But we are taking the convenience, we are taking the whatever, pleasure. Sometimes we act like a Balaam. Romans 1:22 and 21 to 28. You might want to jot it down and take a look at it. Balaam prophesied over Israel for four times. Each time it came out of the blessing. So Balak got upset. He said, I asked you to curse them, not bless them. And what the Balaam said is so real. He said, I cannot curse the Israeli people. I'm just kind of paraphrasing. But if you send a loose woman of Moabite while they're in sex, you have them to have Israeli men to worship your God, then God will curse those people. Because of his advice, and they carried away than what he advised, 24,000 young people died. Balaam eventually died as soothsayer. That means he became one of those craft people. It's bad enough for us to sin against God, but it's worse if we lead other people to against Christ. If you notice, a lot of people get into this kind of trap. Not against all the TV evangelists. I think I said that Greg Laurie is one of them. He is very good. But there's a lot of TV evangelists who does wrong things. Among the Calvary pastors, the email has been going back and forth, and one is about John Hagee. How many of you guys know John Hagee? If you have any doubt, you can go to the jhm.com or .com. JohnHageMinistry.com is John Hagee. Or you can type the word Hagee, H-G-E-E, W-E, yeah. According to IRS Internal Revenue Service, they reported his salary $1.2 million. I know it's to you guys it's a little change, but to me it's a lot of money. And he declared he deserved every penny of it. No, because he's called, I earn every dime. $1.2 million. Yeah, that's a lot of dime. Thank you. In my opinion, he is in this thing for money. I hope that we never get into that position. All right, third musketeer is Korah. This is an interesting guy. Let's go to the chapter 16 of Numbers. Numbers is a fourth book from the first portion of the Old Testament. Number 16, verse 8. Page 257. They get together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon yourselves, and all the congregation is holy. This is the congregation who has been complaining and mope and type all these years. They are holy, according to him, every one of them. And the Lord is among them. Then do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord? And goes on. So when Moses heard, he fell on his face. That's why he has a flat face. And he spoke to the Korah and all of his company, saying, tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and cause him to come near to him. That on whom he chooses, he will cause to come to him. And do this. Take censer and all your company. Put the fire in them, put the incense in them for the Lord tomorrow, and it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is holy one. He takes too much upon himself, your son of Levi. See, this people, the Korah and his followers, are taking that thing that the God's authority and the chain of command is not good enough. They can exalt themselves because they thought too much of themselves. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians, before Ephesians, right after 2 Corinthians in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. This is great for whenever you see you and I like we are special. Let's go to this and kind of remind ourselves who we are. Verse 3 of chapter 6. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, and he is nothing, he deceives himself. You can just change he to she to. Hey, woman has the same problem like guys. It's not just a guy problem. Let each one examine his own work, and then he will have a rejoicing himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. We need to work hard to fulfill God-given task. We all have a different role in the body of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians and according to Romans. When we take apart from that call and thinking that I should have that, I should have this, that's the same attitude as Lucifer, who was once archangel, thinking that I should exalt myself like Most High. He forgot his role, he forgot the authority over him. How do we respond to authority in the church? Am I on top of the Calvary Chapel, Florida? Yeah, but at the same time, I have a six of people who are in the board of directors I'm going to consult with and report to. And at the same time, I'm accountable to you guys. And I report to my pastor, Robert Ford in Calvary Tucson. And then the chain goes up. Even though, yes, he my peer at this point, but it's in written authority command, he's my pastor. That means I report to him. It's mind-boggling that a lot of churches coming from thinking I can do better than the other person, I can do better than pastor, I can do better than worship leader, and thinking too much themselves. And when they their way, they act just like Korah. It's a good thing that God does split the earth and then send the fire from the heaven and burn us crispy. If that's the case, I wouldn't be surprised if there was only 10% church congregation still alive. Probably toast too. It is important for us to acknowledge the authority given by God. So, how can we sum this up? Cain, unbelief, without faith. Korah, greed. Third guy, against the authority. Rejection of authority. Yeah. So they all have a same connection with the one read in previous verses in the book of Jude. Verse 5, all the way back. I wonder why God said, woe them. They denied faith, they denied proper domain, they denied contentment. That's where all these problems starting. All right, application. No matter how reasonable its word, a winsome way, apostasy is damnable and opposed to God. Apostasy is damnable to God. It might be so pleasing to us. It might be so nice because always apostasy exalts flesh. If you don't believe, look at the Hollywood actors. Do they believe in God? They believe in their God, not our God. For example, John Travolta, Tom Cruise, Christy Alley. They are into the same kinds of religion, cult, called Christian sins. What's it all about? Is there to be one of those gods? Can you imagine what would be more satisfying for those Hollywood stars called up their gods? It is no wonder Charlemagne was on primetime TV and he said, I am a god. I am a god. There's a bunch of guys running around, know why the world is going down the drain. My God is not that kind of God. Your God should not be that kind of God. There's only God, one mediator, Jesus Christ. There's no one else. Self-styled religion, greed, pride, anything of God's way is damnable. only His way or nothing. We must worship God, Spirit and Truth. By the worship, this extra side story, no left charge. Worship is not limited in during the time while we sing. You know that? Worship is not limited in time of sing. Let's go to Romans 12. Like I said, there's no extra charge for this. Romans 12. Some of you guys already know where I'm going with this. I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's not about outreach. Reasonable service, and do not be conformed to the world, transformed by the renewing of our heart, our mind, and you may prove what is good. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will God? The sacrifice that not crawled out from the altar, but remained there. It's a reasonable service. This worship, each day, the way we live, should be worship. So we get upset with somebody at work and blow it off and get ticked. We have an attitude problem. Yes? Does it mean we can have that? We should have that, but we do that. But as long as we keep the show on with God, okay, God forgive. But if we carry on because we think we are better than some special, remember Galatians 6, 3 and 5. All right. We are about halfway done, close to halfway done in the book of Jude. By the way, I'm going to ask you to start doing this. Remember, before we start the book of Jude, what do? We read. This time we're going to read a little bit long book. We're going to start to see the Nehemiah. It's a great, great building project. Since we're building project, no pun intended. Nehemiah. Anyway, we'll start to read Nehemiah. Did you stop it? It's in the Old Testament.